The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
With Ken Laird and Chris Curtis on WEEI.
Well, forget lunch with a hero. I've got breakfast with mine every Saturday at 9 a.m. He's right over there.
That is a Dino-level open right
thank
there.
Thank you, thank you. Christopher John Curtis is here. It is the Ken and Curtis program. Can I react to a Razor promo? Nice dig by Andrew Raycroft on the outro promo there after the best of. It was on with Jones and Keefe, and they were talking about the Bruins not firing coach this week, Coach Monty. And he said, at least we won't have to worry about them firing a coach during a Patriots parade because they're a long, long way away or something like that. They're not going to win for a long time.
Oh, is that Claude?
Claude, yeah. Fired under the auspices of night. And so
I have to say, and I mean this sincerely, there is zero glee. In fact, it's fear. In me about what I'm about to say. I'm not reveling in it because God knows this industry is really hard. And I mean that. Like, I'm not. But the iHeart Monday before a presidential election.
Monday and Tuesday, second wave in our industry.
It was awful.
Yeah.
And it's so pathetic and weak to
it's
do
transparent,
it.
Transparent. It's just horrible.
It's detestable. Anyway, but yes, that was not quite as bad as what those losers did to those nice people at iHeart. But, that was the. I remember. Did Pete flip out? Oh no, Pete was the long rant with Dale in 03. Who was it? Like Bobby Fitorik or someone?
Robbie Fitorik.
Pete
Shepard flipped out.
Where they were like the America was about to go to war either in Afghanistan or Iraq, and he's like under the auspices of war, and Dale's like, "You don't really believe that, Pete." Yeah, it was an all timer. Anyway.
Well, and first of all, happy Veterans Day weekend, everybody. As you mentioned, war, and our trip out to the American Heritage Museum yesterday was awesome. Awesome day.
I would say in my entire life of listening to this radio station and working here, so that's basically since I could read, which was about 16 years old. No, I have never heard. The only thing I can compare Joe Landry's interview to was one with John and Jerry. With Ben Finer, who was a young cancer patient, and both, I was not working at the time, that was prior to my working in 2013 with the morning show, but that was the only thing I could come up with. Maybe Jeff Bowman after the marathon bombings, but it's a handful of people who were just, in Ben Finer's case, I was in awe of. John, you know, talked about how he had an old soul, this young boy afflicted with the worst possible situation. And he was, you know, saying he didn't care about himself. I'm fearful of my parents. I mean, it was unbelievable. But what we heard Joe Landry do yesterday was just, there was no limit to how much I could hear him talk about.
Well, you nailed it. It was like crying and laughing same time. And Joe B., our producer, played it during the rewind here about a half hour ago, so some of our audience caught it again. But it was a remarkable 20 minutes. And he is so vibrant for a guy who just turned 100.
He's just got his license renewed.
I know.
Unbelievable. But it's no, great. It's I can never, you know, like you and your dad and, you know, I know your dad didn't talk much about Vietnam. But those people are just so different. And when you hear them and you listen to them, and especially people like Matt Morrell, who works for the Patriots, used to work here. He produces us every Monday at Gillette, is a Marine and served in Afghanistan, in Iraq, I think. But the people that enlisted now, after 9/11, who know damn well it's not going to be some, not like any enlistment's a vacation, but you're going into harm's way. But the people who prevented the rise, I mean, when Joe Landry arrived in France, it was under Hitler's control. Like, how close that was.
Right.
The next thing's England, and guess what? Where next?
Yep.
And that these people just arrived, showed up, did their job, and rid the world of tyranny. It was, especially with, you know, the healthy, you know, no matter the outcome, we had an election which was safe and peaceful and orderly and all of that. And you don't have that without people like Joe Landry.
Yeah, and our buddy Danny from Quincy showed up yesterday with his friend Carl, who is like Danny on steroids somehow. He's like a more hyped up Danny.
Yeah.
Two legends, but Danny's father was captured in World War II in the Battle of the Bulge. His story is unbelievable. Danny was telling me some of it there as we were chatting during the show, and that's just amazing.
And the place, the Heritage Museum, that's what American Heritage Museum?
In Hudson, Mass.
Is, I feel like an idiot that I've lived here my whole life, never been.
Yeah.
I did some FaceTiming with James of the tank, so we're definitely going to head out.
Did you show him Wiggy's tank ride?
I have not. No. He calls it the Wiggy show, so I don't want to promote Wiggy anymore.
The guy who was driving the tank confirmed Wiggy fired it way too soon. He was not supposed to press the button, so thank God it was a blank. Wiggy got in there and it was like James, like a 5-year-old, and just hammering buttons and pushing levers.
Is anybody surprised
No,
by that?
No.
No, it's, it's getting chilly out. The next time you and your family, I think it's open Wednesday through Sunday at 10 a.m. It is an unbelievable place, especially this weekend as we're celebrating the veterans that serve our country.
Yeah.
It would be a great day trip for your family. It's, about 45 minutes outside of Boston.
You are psychotic. You went to the show, you came back to get James, and then you showed back up again.
I had things to do, and I got back, and I walk in, and I see the all the wonderful veterans.
We had our 110 grill lunch.
And Ken is, yum, 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 yum. But
Rob, the general manager of 110 grill.
I got there. I did the gym. I got my pictures taken. We got through it. And it was a lovely day. I saw Greg hanging out with our great friends at J.L. Harvey.
Mm-hmm.
And it was an awesome day. Honestly, it was an unbelievable day.
E.L. Harvey. There might be a J in there somewhere.
It was a great time. And I am ecstatic to have had the opportunity to celebrate Joe Landry because it's really celebrating everybody that, Joe Landry specifically, he just turned 100. It's awesome. But it was a great day.
339 texter, when do we get to hear the Jelani Tavai interview replay since we heard Joe?
That was so weird. I got people saying I was overreacting to it. Like, nobody on the show would have been bothered if Jelani Tavai had a personal appointment. I don't even need to know what it's about. He they provide us the time. So they say 7:15, 7:30. He calls in. Either you leave the room, or I don't know. It was just bizarre to me. It was just such a strange.
It was an unlistenable audio whirring. I don't know what the sound was going on in the background. But anyway, We got through it. We got through it. It was a fun day on Friday, on a Patriots Friday. So back to Razor's thing real quick. How far away are the Pats really? Like, is Razor right? Are we years and years away from success? Or now that you have found the quarterback, shouldn't there be other examples across the NFL that you go to, C.J. Stroud, Patrick Mahomes, Ben Roethlisberger, et cetera, where you find the quarterback and the success comes quickly? Is Razor right that we're years away? Is there such a bereftness of talent everywhere that this is a multi-year rebuild unlike any of those other quarterbacks had to deal with? Or can it actually start to flip? Like, even this season, there's 8 games left. Giardi was talking with the afternoon show there about what do we do now? We have 8 games left. What do you hope for? I mean, it's just you check in every Sunday to see how Drake's developing, how the bun in the oven is expanding. He looks pretty good in there. But it's almost like you've lost the thrill of anything that will happen in these 8 games. Or can he turn a corner?
So I don't think you have to be 4 to 5 years away from contending. However, if you look at the two parts of the Patriots dynasty, you begin with brilliant Parcells drafts where you have a single draft with Curtis Martin, Ted Johnson, I think Teddy Bruschi. You had Ty Law, Willie McGinnis. You had just, I mean, grand slam after grand slam after grand slam. And then the Patriots in 2001 in the first round draft Richard Seymour at 6 overall. Then they draft Matt Light. So you get the two cornerstones outside of the speed positions. You have your left tackle and you have a Hall of Fame defensive lineman.
Yeah.
The draft that we just witnessed is 180 degrees from that.
Well, when it was five offensive players to start, one of them was Drake, of course. Two are offensive linemen who are not playing for various reasons. Or is Leighton Robinson healthy? I don't even know. But Caden Wallace is out. Polk's been a disaster.
Disaster.
Baker just got on the field. Maybe there's some hope there.
Not really.
But they really just, the defensive draft was 2 years ago. And those guys, Gonzalez, White, and Mapu, some promise, but I would say we've reached a peak or a plateau with all three of them. Maybe not Gonzalez. He's been really good.
Gonzalez is good. I mean, the amount of now that you have the quarterback, you can build around it. What I would say to Raycroft, who I love, it's not really a good spot to be mocking others when you've had the quarterback for almost a decade.
I know. That felt like a Bills fan coming out.
And they have,
Toronto native.
Have they made it to one AFC championship?
I think just one.
Okay. So I know it sucks to be at the same time as Patrick Mahomes and to play against guys like Tom Brady, but 13 seconds is what you had and you lost the game.
Yeah.
So it's really close. It's really hard. There are two people that have beaten Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs. One's 48.
Well, by the way, that AFC title game loss for Josh Allen was his second year, third year? When was Allen drafted?
It was 2017, I believe.
No, 2020.
Josh Allen was not drafted in 2020.
No, I mean, the loss to the Chiefs was 2020. Yeah, so you're right. He might have been drafted in 17.
He was in the 2018 draft.
By year three, he was in the AFC title game.
That's right, but he's only been once.
So if Drake is Josh Allen 2.0, is that the standard? Like, next year playoffs, 2 years, you're back in the AFC title game. Can it happen that quick?
So
for this collection of people.
It is amazing. He is, including the playoffs, 75-37 as a starting quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah.
His playoff numbers, he has exactly a 100 passer rating. 21 touchdowns, 4 picks. That is wildly good. It's just, you sometimes, you know, Barkley had to play with Bird, Magic, and Jordan. You don't win, you know, and when you're Josh Allen and you enter against Tom Brady, who really owns the Bills at 32-3, not the Raiders, and then you have Mahomes, who's the next Brady, it's pretty tough, but...
But that, I mean, even competing just right now seems so far away. Like, Razor's right, you're 2-7. If you're a Patriots fan and you're really glued in on the day-to-day, you're nervous that Vedarian Lowe might not play Sunday.
What a bozo.
Thank you, Razor. Lowe is your best lineman by far. He's your left tackle. He's been one guy that's kind of hung in there. And he might be out. You might be moving Onwenu from right guard to left guard and rotating him around again this week. So it seems bad.
But here's where I would jump in. Instead of using the Bills as the example for Razor, what about the Bengals? So their offensive line has been awful. They don't have a great defense, and they have a very good to great talent in Joe Burrow.
Yeah, but that's almost a knock at May, that he's not able to elevate this team the way Burrow did.
What are you talking about? Rookie year, he got injured.
Oh, yeah, second year. So, that's right, second year.
So, and I think Burrow was much older because he started at Ohio State. I think he might have gone to Florida. Then he landed at LSU and won the national championship with Ed Orgeron.
They got Chase. When was Jamar Chase?
So that was his, after his rookie year, where they went, I think, 5-11 or 4-12 after he got injured.
4-11-1, as I pull it up now, the COVID year. So 2021, Jamar Chase was offensive rookie of the year. He was the fifth overall pick in the 2021 draft. But the problem is this draft, like we brought up Travis Hunter a couple weeks ago. Joe B, our producer, chimed in, and I think he said he's a corner, he's not a receiver. He might be right. He might not even be a receiver. Is there a Jamar Chase in this draft?
I don't know, but I'm sure if there is, the Patriots will whiff on it. So just looking at AFC championship history, the last, let's say, since 2011, you have had, let's see, 3, 4. It's basically the Patriots, the Ravens, the Chiefs, with a couple of, you know, Bengals and Titans and Jaguars and Steelers mixed in. But the Jaguars getting there, that's, you know, Blake Bortles, pretty crappy team. I don't think it's all about that the Patriots as much as it is the rest of the league staying healthy. Like this year, even if the Patriots had a great start, the top of the AFC right now is elite. The Bills, the Ravens, and the Chiefs are freaking good. And I don't think the Patriots are close to any of those three teams.
Not close. I mean, they're not even, it should be a different league. It's amazing how far they are. And even the Texans, who were good last year, seem like a distant second tier. And Stroud, in year one, he had a better supporting cast, obviously. And they got success right away, but now they've taken maybe a little bit of a step back.
What's really frustrating about this last Tuesday is not what really angered you, Ken. I know, I'm sorry. But it was the offensive line and the things that you could do. I called the trade deadline summer school for the Patriots, where you could do what I did at BC, take two classes over the summer, lower the workload, get more drunk, and everybody's all happy. So you do summer school at the trade deadline,
yeah,
and you either take on a Max Crosby, you absorb big paydays because you have nothing but cap space, you try and get guys in here that can work in your scheme, that can help others develop. The left tackle that went to the Vikings was a seventh-round pick that could become a sixth-round pick. And these bozos are saying to me on the show with the Greg Hill show are saying, you got to stockpile the sixth-rounders and trade up. Like, just read a book.
Yeah, but if they had traded for Cam Robinson from the Jags, would you have given them any credit for that?
Yes, I would have said, okay. Well, because
they did get Yannick Ngakoue.
Wait, Mark, James, what? Who is that?
Yannick Ngakoue.
That's pretty good.
Okay, good. Duval. Yes, why not get ahead of the offseason? So fix the places you drafted poorly. Get a left tackle. I don't know who is available, but do something to build and get guys. A left tackle that can keep Drake May upright for the remainder of the season is invaluable. Am I wrong?
No, particularly with the state of their line going into this weekend. I mean, May might get killed in Chicago. I mean, if Lowe was out.
Jerry talked about that a lot.
I mean, he's got to be careful, right? I mean, you're legitimately worried every week for his health and his safety.
Great city, Chicago.
It is a great city.
I am not worried about.
Give me an answer. Short answer, how far away are they? 1 year? Next
from
year?
What?
From competing. Playoffs.
Well, for competing for the playoffs, they're not a year
away. Can this team make the playoffs next year?
I mean,
if with every right move, and what are those moves?
Shime could get a perfect score in the SATs, but it would require a statistical improbability.
617-779-7937 to reach the program. The Ken and Curtis Show. Okay, let's get Sorge in. We don't take a call in segment
take
one
our
often.
Call.
Hi, Sorge. Good morning, Sorge from Mansfield.
Good morning, Ken and Curtis. How are we this morning?
We're good.
Curtis, really quick, I was working the overnight, and I was actually, of course, listening to the award-winning Greg Hill show, and, you know, I just called right before the Joel Andrew interview, so I cannot wait to listen to that. But really quick here, guys, Ken, to answer your question, this team could be a playoff team next year, considering how many AFC teams were 2-7, right? I'm just not confident in the guys that have to do the job. And let me tell you why, right? Curtis, you're absolutely right. You could have at least made some moves to improve this team, right? For Bill and all of his faults, right? Bill was not an eye for offensive talent, right? But at least he would trade a second round to bring in Mohamed Sanu. And, of course, that didn't work out, right? And I just want to give you this stat really quick, if I could. Drake May, in his first four career starts, is the only quarterback to throw for 700 passing yards, 6 passing TDs, 60% completion, and 200 rushing yards. So, you know, I just think that you have the quarterback. There's no need to get the number one pick. If you get it, you can trade down. But like I said, this team could compete. I'm just not confident in the people who are in charge for this rebuild. Go BC. Take care.
Thank you, Sorge. When he says people in charge, I'm sure he means Elliott Wolf. But I'm sure he's probably talking about Mayo and the coordinator as well, Alex Van Pelt. So those are the big three that have obviously taken the spotlight.
This year, we both agree, just like we did with Max rookie year, that everything is secondary to the fact that Drake May being a guy you can build around as the number one thing you need. Right. Everything else is meaningless.
So this year's already a success.
But what I fail to include in that is all the peripheral decisions that they have failed on. Failed on Van Pelt. Would you agree?
I don't agree with that. Mm. I'm not ready to give him the F. I mean, if Drake May is a success, then Van Pelt must have done something right so far.
What play has Drake May executed that you believed Van Pelt designed?
Van Pelt designed that end of regulation scramble.
Van Pelt designed...
He designed Michael Jordan just standing around looking right. clueless?
Van Pelt designed a Jersey Mike's run at halftime.
He calls it the weave. Trump stole that from him.
I don't know. We can get into it after the break, but I don't think they've hit one thing else besides the quarterback.
Okay, Texter, 774. If you put a smart GM and a young, growing, offensive-minded head coach, you will turn the team around within 1 to 2 years. So is that important? You got to get Mayo out and bring Ben Johnson in. Ben Johnson is like the golden boy, the golden child of coaching promise.
So, just like Jason Varitek is your golden boy?
No, I'm a Cora guy. I'm a Cora guy through and through. I'm glad they salvaged that.
Did they throw the entire Netflix season documentary in the trash?
No, it wasn't supposed to come out until next year.
Oh, so this year was 04. Next year will be...
Next year is the... yeah.
Oof, I mean, cut the tension wait. With the knife.
People can't wait to see behind the scenes of that year. All right, Joe B's got your trending. Kenny Curtis with you until 11:30. BC football coming up. Celtics get a win. Bruins back on the ice. Joe has the details.
Jones and Keefe, weekdays 10 to 2.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Celtics are back in the win column after grinding out a 108-104 overtime victory at home over the Brooklyn Nets. Jason Tatum had a dunk with 30 seconds left that gave the Seas the 94-92 edge, but Tatum mistakenly fouled Cameron Johnson. He made the two free throws, forcing OT in that extra period. Peyton Pritchard was the star. He scored 6 of the team's 14 points. Joe Mazzulla talked after the game about the different ways the Celtics have been able to find their victories.
It's crazy. I'll take a look at the points per shot and stuff, but two 25-point quarters in an 18-16 game is just kind of one of those ugly, grinded-out games. You know, we gave up some stuff that we have to get better at, but, you know, it was just you had to earn every basket. You had to earn it on both ends of the floor, and I thought, you know, we did that, especially towards the end of the game.
Tatum finished with a game-high 33 points, 9 rebounds, and 6 assists. Pritchard contributed 20 off the bench. The Seas will now head to Milwaukee to face the Bucks tomorrow afternoon. The final injury report is out for the Patriots as they travel to Chi-Town to face off with the Bears. Safety Kyle Duggar, who's dealing with an ankle issue, and linebacker Christian Ellis, who has an abdomen injury, have both been ruled out after not practicing at all this week. Notable questionable names are Alex Austin, Daniel Kwale, Michael Jordan, Vidarian Lowe, Marte Mapu, Layden Robinson, and Jaquelin Roy. On the other side for Chicago, both starting tackles, Braxton Jones and Darnell Wright, have been ruled out, as well as safety Jaquan Brisker. Pats and Bears kick it off from Soldier Field tomorrow at 1 o'clock. A roster move was made yesterday by the Pats. They signed veteran pass rusher Yannick Ngakoue from the Ravens. The Bruins are back on home ice as they welcome the Senators to town, and it's a matchup of former teammates Jeremy Swayman and Linus Allmark will square off. Allmark was traded to Ottawa during the offseason. The Bees come in hot. They've won 3 of their last 4 games. Puck drop from TD Garden is set for 7 o'clock. And Boston College football returns from their bye week as they welcome the Syracuse Orange to Alumni Stadium. BC has lost 3 straight after starting the season 4-1. You can listen to John Mita-Perrell and Pete Cronin on the call from Chestnut Hill right here on 93.7 WEEI-FM with coverage starting at 11:30. I'm Joe Braverman, and that's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought 2 wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first 3 orders. Service fees and terms apply.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
He's ready. He's ready to win. He's ready to lead a team. there were plenty of things he could have done a little bit better out there. But if he can put on a Superman cape for a team that is this completely lacking in talent, then the urgency should be on everyone right now. This should be a clarion call to ownership that if they have misgivings about offensive coordinators, wide receiver coaches, head coaches, defensive coordinators, direction of the team, GM, college director of player personnel, whoever, act on it.
Tommy Curran of the Afternoon Show here on WEI, Kenneth Curtis. Curtis not happy. They did not act on it at the trade deadline in any form or fashion, and it being pretty much anything. Bupkis, but nothing happens at the trade deadline. Schefter's right about that. Nobody trades anybody of note. Guess you're right. They could have picked up the tackle from Jacksonville, but you're going to follow the Cam Robinson Vikings post-trade and just kind of grade him, see how he does?
It honestly isn't even about how good Cam Robinson is, because I have no clue. It's just the desire to have no plan or there's no desire to imminently change what is clearly catastrophically failing. And so I'm everybody says Elliot Wolf is in for the long haul, and you know, many people still say AVP is safe. If the offense doesn't get better, why would you ever bring him back? And
AVP,
right? I mean, obviously Jerod Mayo, but this is a simple question to everybody. This is not personal. Believe me, I love Jerod Mayo. Couldn't be nicer. Stand-up guy. I think he's going to be successful at whatever he does if he has enough time. I really do. He's just an impressive guy. But if the Patriots finish this year 3-14 and Ben Johnson is available, and it's reported that Ben Johnson really would love to work with Drake May. I'm not saying it has, but work with me here. Okay. If it's reported this summer that this is a job, the Lions win the Super Bowl, as I predict, Ben Johnson is the number one guy, and Robert Kraft can have him at half Belichick's price, $15 million a year for 5 years, and he gets to be running the operation. Why wouldn't you entertain that?
As head coach or as
head coach?
OC? Okay, he wouldn't take an OC.
It's a good question. I just don't want to get into it.
So you have a if the team's 3-14,
yeah,
AVP's gone. I have no desire to have him whatsoever. And then you're going to bring in a second offensive coordinator. And if you retain Jerod Mayo, as we expect them to do, then if next season doesn't turn into 10-7 but is 5-12, then Jerod Mayo's gone. That coordinator's gone. And then in Drake May's third season, he'll be on his second coach and third offensive coordinator.
If you hire Johnson, does he call plays? He has pretty much said he wants to call plays.
Yes.
So then it doesn't even matter who your coordinator is.
Exactly.
He's your coach
and he's never going anywhere unless you fire him, because the offensive coach will handle the offense. And so you can, it's not like a guy like Kubiak's kid or, you know, even Ben Johnson, any one of these young coordinators that immediately get gobbled up by other teams as a head coach.
Ben Johnson, by the way, former Boston College coach. Grad assistant 2009-2010, tight ends coach at BC in 2011, before going to Miami, working through the ranks on the offensive staff there, and then eventually to Detroit. I mean, in 2019, 5 years ago, Ben Johnson, who's now 38, was the quality control coach of the Lions.
Guess who takes credit for him? I'm not kidding.
Does Patricia?
Yeah.
Oh, God. Of course he does. Well, whatever. I mean, he's from South Carolina. I don't know that he has any ties here.
I think I got probably one of the biggest plays in the fourth quarter in the history of the NFL, where I think I did a pretty good job.
I have a question for you, and I'm not going to answer it because I don't want to have any of my Belichick personal feelings get into it.
Yeah.
If you had the option, or even you could answer it as an NFL team that's out there, who would you rather have? Belichick running the whole operation with his cronies,
okay,
or Ben Johnson?
Ooh. And by the way, that's a real-life problem. That's
yep.
Tampa Bay has been rumored in the Bills sweepstakes. We know Dallas is in.
What's it a problem for?
It's a current real-world ownership dilemma.
Question.
Do I go hire Ben Johnson, or do I give Bill
all
that
money? So if you run
money?
The team, which are you doing?
It depends which team.
Okay.
Let's
play best of.
Well, I mean, it does. It depends what my
it's
scenario
Ken's
is.
It's team.
Well, who's my quarterback?
For you, Roethlisberger.
Because honestly, if I'm the Bears, and I think Caleb Williams is the future, I hire Ben Johnson.
Okay.
I do not bring Bill
anywhere
near a young
quarterback.
Name me a team
whose quarterback isn't the future.
If I'm a veteran quarterback like Dak, I want Bill. Somebody who's beyond being ruined. A young quarterback, because you know he plays games with young quarterbacks and they're not ready to handle it. Does that make sense? I mean, that's.
So you think Bill Belichick wants to work with a quarterback who sucks making $60 million a year?
I don't know if Bill does, but if I'm the Cowboys, I hope that he can. At this point, you're desperate. You've given him all that money. You need Bill to come in and try to wake him up with an attitude adjustment.
To me, it's a no-brainer. It's Ben Johnson. I mean.
I think it depends. Now, what about Tampa? Which is very interesting because I know if Bill does go to Tampa, he's going to be compared by you to the end of time with Brady. He's going to have to win a Super Bowl there to match what Brady did with the same organization.
Right.
And he mocked them for being up against the cap, which is also bizarre.
Well, he's going to coach until his girlfriend turns 40, so it'll be at least 50 years.
Well, jeez. But he also likes Jason Light, who's the GM there and kind of groomed under Bill, so it's possible. And he could back to Jacksonville with Shad Khan.
And people forget he did hand Jason Light Gronk and Shaq Mason.
But as you bring this up, what if there's a bidding war? We know Kraft, you had a great conspiracy theory that he kept him on the hook so he wouldn't get hired somewhere else, right? That Kraft is
My conspiracy theory was, well, there's been many, but the one on this was that Bill Belichick didn't get a new job. He was fine not getting another job because he knew Kraft would have to eat the $30 million for nothing.
Oh, that Bill did that to Kraft. Well, Kraft will try to get him back somehow. And somehow they could both be in
the Dynasty series.
I know, but it keeps going. So how can Kraft get Ben Johnson but screw Bill out of getting a job? There's some sort of off-season drama going on there already.
But that is going to be the number one question because the Lions are great. They're maybe the best team in the NFL, even though the Chiefs are undefeated.
Yep.
And we all believe that Ben Johnson was waiting. He wanted to finish the job in a town where he got the opportunity in 2019. So the two biggest names out there will be Ben Johnson and Bill Belichick.
And there will be a lot of big teams out there, too. Eagles, Cowboys. Like, there are a lot of high-profile teams that are going to need some.
I'll give you this, Ken. If I'm the Eagles, I take Belichick over Ben Johnson.
Really?
Yeah.
Philadelphia and Bill, I don't know.
But that's a team that is a discipline and get rid of some of the noise down there.
He's the anti, what's our current coach's name?
Sirianni.
Sirianni. He's the anti-Sirianni.
Yeah, that guy's a toolbox.
He just seems like it. By the way, I have found the consensus top receiver in the draft is, I guess, not from Colorado. It's T-Mac from Arizona. Have you watched this kid? Tadaro McMillan?
I have not seen a single. I don't watch Arizona ever since Wiggy's kids left.
They're
the
terrible.
First part of being smart is knowing what to do.
T-Mac is.
Who needs a definition of smart? Like, what in the hell?
Oh, it's going to be a fun offseason.
Oh.
What should the Pats do? How far away are they? Are you pissed when you watch Drake May succeed that there is not more around him? Is there a visceral reaction? Like, are you week by week stewing that they've put Drake in this situation? Let's go to Kyle and Lowell. Hello, Kyle.
Hello.
How you doing, man?
Pretty good. Yeah, I think it's just another clear example of Robert Kraft absolutely dropping the ball when it comes to forward thinking and playing around the quarterback. It's gross. This offseason, Hunter Henry is the one signing that's supposed to be the star. Not even a real wide receiver. And on the line, you just bring back Michael. It doesn't make any sense. It's as negligent as back in 2017, 2018, when Tom Brady's talking about leaving, and you know it might be a real thing, and you go out and you draft Isaiah Wynn and Sony Michel in the first round.
Awful.
Zero idea of planning around the future, around the quarterback position. And he continues to fail at it over and over again.
Yeah, that's a great point. That was awful.
Thanks, Kyle.
God, was that an awful draft. Oh, my God.
He's a world champion, Isaiah Wynn.
It is so confounding, though. Like, this offseason, I'm not saying Calvin Ridley is Michael Irvin or Jerry Rice, but he's by far and away would be the most talented member of the offense, not named Drake May. And it's just money. They have nothing but it. And not only do they not sign him, but Kraft blames the player, the player's spouse, for not coming to Boston. And then they start the nonsensical tax thing, which is not a The Massachusetts millionaire's tax is only implemented on games physically played in Massachusetts. So it's 4% on top of something for 8 games a year. Like, it is not the way the organization attempts to spin you and the way people parrot it. like it's gospel is so pathetic. Like, they don't spend.
He made clearly his girlfriend wanted to be in the South.
Oh, go away.
Well, you blame Giselle, too, now. You and Kraft.
I don't blame
that.
Giselle.
You don't?
No, I blame Bill Belichick.
Oh. Yeah, well, Kraft probably blames him, too, deep down.
No, Kraft could look in a mirror. I mean, it would be beneficial.
Do you want Ben Johnson?
Yes.
You want Mayo out. Ben Johnson in.
I don't want a guy that's looking like he's waiting for his quarter pounder with cheese. I watch Alex Van Pelt, and he is just like...
Oh, Van Pelt.
All I think about with Alex Van Pelt is a guy that's just like, I ordered this with extra fries.
He has gotten way too much criticism.
What does he do well?
May is succeeding.
Can you tell me what he does well?
He's the coordinator for Drake May, who is a success.
Why don't you define smart, then?
Let's look at May's statistics. Let's look at his last couple weeks.
So do you think that Drake May's successful on diagrammed ones where he is back there, two steps, boom?
What is he throwing to? What is around him? I mean...
Okay, I mean, Alex Van Pelt, I think he knew what the offense was when he arrived here. I think he was like the weekend host in Buffalo.
Fine. You can mock his history.
His
bona fides. That much. Yes, he has no bona fides. But he has come in with, as we're discussing, the worst supporting cast in NFL history, and he has managed to make Drake a success.
So you think it's – so in terms
I'm
of –
I'm not crediting him.
So who gets credit for Drake's success?
You can't say he's a failure. That's
of
just not
Of course he
true.
Is. Do you watch the offense? The plays are atrocious. They're going lateral on a team that has no speed.
Hunter Henry seems to be thriving. He's got some good stats.
Do you like the pitch to Ramondre when he gets the ball and there's three people in the back?
The tight end screen off the flea flicker.
That's creative.
You know what I would honestly do if I took over the Patriots? I would say, Van Pelt, just give up on first down. Just start on second so it's not second and 13, you dullard. They must have the worst first down efficiency in the NFL.
I mean, you're just caught up in looks. You're caught up in, like, drama dynamics.
I watch the game, I get mad, and I see his dumb face, and it bothers me.
I mean, Ben Johnson looks great, but he's a young guy who's also an unproven head coach. You put him into a head coaching position, now he's got to coach and coordinate. That's a little risky.
And he also, the way he answers questions, Van Pelt asks like he's Bill Walsh.
He's got a little Patricia in him.
That's a great thing. I mean, what a trait.
I think he does. Now, Texter says Ben Johnson may have some connection with Drake May.
That's an odd question.
Why are you here?
From the Carolina days. Ben Johnson with the college at North Carolina, as Drake May did. So there you go. Maybe that is the obvious connection. I heard Burt Breer bring up the Josh McCown possibility. McCown's son.
Name that McCown.
Was buddies with Drake, so they know each other. Vikings OC right now. There are options out there. And you like Josh McDaniels.
How about outside the box? I'm not kidding. Fitzmagic, Harvard guy.
Fitzy? Oh, what's he doing now?
He just does like the Amazon. He's one of 16 people.
He's one of the heads on Thursday Night Football.
Yeah, it's like him and 16 other people.
What about Razor?
Richard Sherman.
What about Razor coaching the Bruins?
I would love it.
Bring him out of the tunnel.
I mean, as long as he doesn't have to be in here on a day where there's no internet.
It's also, he got Jaffe put in the tunnel, and he got the Dale analyst spot. Did you see that for the game this week? They had Razor up with, on the booth.
I missed it.
And they had, I think he did the switcheroo. I think Razor is like behind the scenes trying to get.
Who is cheaper, Nesson or the Patriots?
Oh, jeez. Who would you rather have, Juan Soto or Ben Johnson? 617-779-7937. Off-season wish list here on the Ken and Curtis program. I do want to get a little Celtics weekend review next, if you would permit me. Celtics win last night overtime. Greg was there. They lose the game. Wiggy was courtside. They win the game. Greg was courtside. Was it a successful week? They got embarrassed by Steve Kerr and Steph Curry. But they're missing parts.
It was a good week for Jaylen Brown.
But Tatum did deliver last night, so I want to kind of digest the Celtics week next.
And a very monkeys there. Oldie but a goodie.
Nice pull by you. Curtis requesting a song.
Yes, and a happy 65th birthday today to Catherine. So enjoy the day. Beautiful day here in the lovely New England states.
Love that.
And I have to say, during the break, Ken Laird told me that the
so whatever this is a lie, like most things out of your mouth during the week.
I was going to say something about the station, but I will stay away from it. BC 11:30 today, and I find it fascinating how much you, Ken Laird, are very split. Like you think Bill failed here.
At the end,
but
yes.
Drop you don't have the personal animus that I have, which is totally respectable. but you think it's team specific about what the offseason will look like. Are you 100% that Bill's going to coach next year?
100%. 1,000%. He will coach somewhere. He's got options. He's got multiple options.
You know the biggest reason I think he's coming back outside of, you know, that he's competitive? It's Andy Reid. Have you looked at the all-time wins
Reid
lately?
Reid will catch him, no doubt. Only if he stays healthy.
I mean, right, but speaking of Alex Van Pelt, but...
He and Mahomes. Mahomes just, what, he got like halfway to Brady or whatever? He crossed some threshold. And you and I were texting about it a couple weeks ago, and he has to play 10 more years to pass Brady's yards or touchdowns or whatever it is. He could.
The silly quarterback numbers have, even though they've added a game, you know what's also just so pathetic? So the NFL has, the defenses have caught up in many ways to the offense. Like, it's no longer this 50 touchdown, 6-pick season league.
Yeah.
So what they do is they change the kickoff, and it what used to be at the 20, not, then was the 25, and now the touchback's a 30. So you get one first down, and you're right by midfield.
Yeah.
Like, that is, gaining 5 yards on every drive is a huge difference. And the way the kickers have gotten, you cross midfield, you're in field goal range. So the changes across the league have been to sort of mask the fact that the offenses have not been nearly as good as the defenses in recent years. So, you know, that adds for the, you know, when you have a brilliant guy in Andy Reid or Kyle Shanahan or McVay, like, that's where the edge is. But you could make the argument that Bill Belichick and a great defense now is more similar to the early 2000s than the mid, you know, 20 teens.
In that it will shut down and counteract the Andy Reids of the world.
Right. That you are more able to now, despite, you know, starting at the 30 and all of the rules that have gone into play.
Well, and the Chiefs have a pretty good defensive coordinator as well.
Spagnuolo.
Spagnuolo.
He's a Hall of Famer, you can make the argument.
He really is. They got it working out there. So we're talking Ben Johnson, what the Pats need to do, how far away they are to get to contention.
And the Chiefs are so much like the Patriots in every way, outside of the negative coverage. Like, the DeAndre Hopkins is such a Patriot move at the deadline. I mean...
Oh, that was a great move. And I told you the Ravens screwed up by not getting him. As soon as that happened, Zach Gelb had put out something from... He does the night show on Infinity Sports Radio, but he was right on that. Like, that's one of those... If you're a contender and you let D-Hop go to the Chiefs, you have failed. Ravens could use him in a big way. He shows up last week, what, 2 touchdowns?
Yes.
I mean, he is good. He is good.
And it's
right
like,
away.
You don't need... It's just... I know that we don't want the Chiefs to win around here, and I get it. Believe me, I get it. Nobody was more protective of the legacy of that Tom Brady than I am. But you have to just marvel at Mahomes and Reid. Like, they're just great. Mahomes is everything you'd want in a quarterback. He is overshadowed by the spouse of his tight end. And he doesn't care. He's got the craziest people around him, and he's just calm.
If it's Chiefs-Ravens title game, you're rooting for the Chiefs?
No. I'm rooting for the Ravens.
Really? You're rooting for Harbaugh?
Zay Flowers is a beast.
I forgot about Zay. Harbaugh's a dink.
And I kind of want to give the Patriots crap for letting Zay pass, but they did get Christian Gonzalez, so not a draft you could quibble with.
All right, text line 240. Here's the question. If Mike Vrabel was the head coach, would McDaniels take the OC job? The present coaching staff is miserable. That's signed off as Frank. Frank in the 240. McDaniels' name gets brought up a bit.
I know. McDaniels is better, I think, but I also was very... He was a frustrating guy to watch coach. And so, again, is it the offense or is it the people that they have there? It's not like Bill O'Brien. We all love Billy O'Brien, but the offense was not good last year. I just don't. Do you have any faith they're going to invest in the ways they need to?
You started it right. They need to have a Hall of Fame Parcellsian draft.
But
this next go round. They'll have a lot of picks.
That's like saying Jackson's got to, you know, do a Rubik's Cube in 5 seconds.
I don't know who's out there. Like, who are you going to spend the money on? It's got to be a trade, I guess. Back to the T. Higgins or.
Do you sense an urgency from the Crafts?
I think there's an urgency, yes. They're getting
to get into the Hall of Fame.
The urgency now is that May is. These last 8 weeks are going to be a week by week indictment and an embarrassment for them because they will have nailed Drake May, but they'll see what they've left him with. And they're going to get criticized heartily for that, as they are this morning. So, yes, that will drive them. And Bill getting back into the league is going to drive them to want to beat his ass.
But, Ken, can we go back to the 2021 end of season?
Okay.
So it is Mac's rookie year.
Yep. You predicted, as I did, they would beat the Bills in the playoff game. They didn't.
And we said, all right, great start. here are the places you obviously need to. And we said, we agreed, you know, the Bills are here. The Patriots are here.
And McDaniels left. And he was the key to it all.
But that offseason was the beginning of 2021, 2022, 2023, 2024, four consecutive offseasons where you did nothing.
Right.
You sat.
Do you think Mac will play tomorrow and play well, by the way?
Oh, I hope so.
Are you rooting for him?
Oh, absolutely.
I think he will, actually.
Is Greg in Monday or am I? I haven't heard
anything. Greg is in. Okay. Greg is in.
I just want to mock shine.
Okay. Let's go to Brian at Pepperell on the State of the Pats. Hi, Brian.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Great show.
Thank you.
I wanted to get your thoughts, kind of a psychological perspective, evaluation perspective on Bill Belichick. We know he's great with the X's and O's, but my gosh, the sanctimonious kind of gesture he has now on these shows is ridiculous. In terms of evaluation, let's go through it. Freaking, who's the kid? Cole Strange. McVay's laughing at him, had him at a round four evaluation perspective. N'Keal Harry, Thornton. Is he stubborn? Is he infusing his dad from the Navy days? He went up the middle. Is it just arrogance? Could you guys talk about the psychological and the evaluation piece and why he doesn't value skill positions?
He is the biggest. He has the biggest ego of anybody I've ever seen or covered in professional sports. And he is blinded. If you go back, Brian, like you look at all these books that have been written, Ian O'Connor did a book on Belichick where he quoted, I believe to be Joe Judge. It was an unnamed source who said that Bill believes that he can win with any top 15 quarterback. He has always hated the offense, invested in the defense, believed that's how you win games, and he could never accept the fact that Tom Brady was the reason they won the titles in their second half. And that's why he couldn't get along with him. Which is also why, Brian, since Tom Brady won his seventh in Tampa, Bill Belichick has on the Chiron, whatever the hell they call it, at Pat McAfee's show, eight-time Super Bowl champion. Yeah. He is a petulant child who happens to be brilliant.
He'd rather win with his players than win with elite talent, most of the time.
But if Tom Brady's never Tom Brady, he's never Bill Belichick.
That is true. And so how much of a percentage do you put on Belichick from the preceding years of the cupboard being bare versus Elliott Wolf? I know Elliott hasn't had a good start, but how much would you kind of look at both of those perspectives and say, where's the blame a bit more on one side of the other, guys?
Well, for Curtis, it's 100%. I mean, we know that. Belichick derangement syndrome Brady left.
No, I would say that Kraft has as much to blame as Bill Belichick when it comes to the way the roster looks today.
We may have done 3 hours on that in a recent show.
But I believe that's simple. I mean, I don't think it's all Bill Belichick. I just, the way people talk about Kraft and Bill, and the team will tell you, and I've been told by the team many times, that it was Bill's decisions to do things. Robert Kraft and Bill Belichick liked the fact that the salaries were lower because it put more power in their hands. But at the end of the day, it's Kraft's team, and he chose not to force them. You know, he forced his hand to get on a coordinator, but that's a lot cheaper than bringing in a top-end receiver.
Okay, now I wanted to talk Celtics, but we're up against it. Texter's ripping me for saying the Celtics did not get embarrassed by Golden State. They did Wednesday. I'll present my case for that. We're only on until 11:30 today. What do you got to get off your chest today? I know you had some things you wanted to get to.
I really just wanted to get to the future of this team in terms of the coaching staff. If you're telling me that you want Van Pelt, if you agree with me, Ken Laird, that the offense and this team's entire future is predicated upon the growth and success of Drake May.
That's step two. Step one was Drake's success.
Right. Drake's
the guy.
Check that box.
Okay.
I agree. Do you agree?
I agree.
So you have the guy.
All in favor.
How do you not F it up?
Step two, how to not F it up.
Right. And you're on your way to effing it up. I'll just, you know, tease that. No, not you.
Oh, God. You blame me for everything else.
I do not. I think Will Fleming should host every show.
Can we get Joe Landry 25 games this year on the Red Sox broadcast? That guy is ready to go.
I love it. I mean, he can drive himself, unlike Greg.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.